we've always traditionally thought of education as you go to school, you maybe try to find ways to get involved with in your career through volunteering or through internships, which are excellent options. And I did them both, and they're wonderful, and they really do serve you well in building experience as you're going along in your career. But there's, I think, even taking it up one step forward is an apprenticeship. And an apprenticeship really rocked the way that I looked at education, because I had never heard of it. And it's this way of combining your training and your education all together, and you're working and you're getting your education. And, you know, at the end of the apprenticeship, you are working already. So to me, it just blew my mind. And I know that I didn't do a very good job at explaining it. And I'm going to let Adrian, who's one of our guests this morning, to explain it better in just a bit here. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. So maybe you are in a place in your life where you lost your job. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you're like, you know what, this career doesn't feel right anymore. Maybe you are a student and you're trying to figure out, how do I go to school? How do I, you know, where do I go from here in my career? Well, maybe you want to consider an apprenticeship. Maybe an apprenticeship is the right thing for you to do. And my other guest, Brenda Anderson, she's the project manager at AT&T. She's also going to talk to us about, you know, if you're an employer, maybe you have your own business, and maybe you're thinking, well, I want to create a very well-educated, well-rounded workforce, you know, that has a lot of experience already and is well-educated, and they come to my business, this might be the right idea for you. So stick around, find out all about apprenticeships. And Brenda, I want to start with you, and I welcome you both, Adrian and Brenda, this morning, this snowy morning, for taking the time to join me here on Zoom. And we've met Adrian before, so I want to start with Brenda today to kind of just get to know you, Brenda, a little bit better. Just get to know a little bit about yourself and the work that you do as project manager in AT&T. So welcome.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. And yes, my name is Brenda Anderson, and I am a project manager with AT&T, the one that's actually located in Howard County, right off of Columbia Gateway. So we are pretty much neighbors with Howard Community College, which makes it fantastic. I myself have been in the industry and mainly the intelligence community for over 20 years, probably closer to 30 at that point, which I guess I'm aging myself just a little bit, but that's all right. I've held some various different positions, but the majority of my positions have been in a program or project manager position. So yes, I've kind of been responsible for running some very large programs, subcontracting programs for our government customer. And this has included everything from managing the personnel to managing the actual contract, the budget, the timeliness of it, making sure that all of the milestones have been met. So when AT&T approached me about a position, I was actually really intrigued because I've had some experience in the education industry for a couple years. I was actually the director of public contact at UMBC. So one of my all-time favorite jobs, loved it there. But of course, the intelligence community kept pulling me back. So because of me having that experience, when AT&T approached me about this job, it really intrigued me because, first of all, I got to be doing project management, which is kind of what my niche is. But second of all, I got to be working with students again and helping them obtain their hopefully lifelong goals of not only the education, but the career aspect of it. So when they wanted to create this apprenticeship, they needed a project manager that could kind of take it and run with it, because it is quite a full-time job, I will say. And it was kind of a no-brainer for me. So I took the position very gladly, have been working with Adrian and the rest of the team at Howard Community College ever since on creating this apprenticeship for AT&T. We actually call it the Catapult Program. We got that branded through AT&T. So very excited about that. And it has just leaps and bounds overachieved already my expectations of what this apprenticeship was going to be, just working with the students, working with the college, helping these kids get this position, of which is setting them up for a lifetime career, not a job. And that's one of the biggest things that I stress. This is not a job. This is an opportunity for a lifetime of you to start creating your career and moving forward in the industry. So it's really been a fantastic thing so far. In addition to that, I do also run the onboarding program for AT&T. So I work with our amazing staffing department on having them help bring new people in. So it's just kind of been a little weave of tapestry with all of it working out together.
And, you know, I love that distinction you made, a job and a career, right? Yeah. And I think that that's really hard, especially when we're starting, right? For younger listeners and viewers out there, when we're starting, you know, to figure out what do I want to do, right? It's always, I got to find a job. I got to pay the bills. I got to find a job. Since you mentioned that, I want you to talk a little bit, if you could, Brenda, about that distinction, right? And what it means to have this opportunity to build a career from the very first job that you get, right? Yeah. And the distinction of just getting a job.
Here's what I think especially about, and I can't really say young college students, because I realize that a lot of the students that we have are they're grown people with families that have already had some education, but they're just looking for that opportunity to come into play. If we don't give people this opportunity, how are they going to get started? I mean, I have daughters myself, and after college, I found that one of the hardest things for them was actually getting someone to take that risk, to take that chance on them, to help them achieve that first opportunity. Because once you get that first one, the rest are going to come into play. But it's getting that first one that you need somebody to be able to take a risk on you. And my son-in-law is a perfect example. Double master's degree in engineering and could not find a job because nobody wanted to take a chance on him because why? He didn't have the experience. Well, how are these people going to get experience if we don't give them that opportunity, that first chance to get that experience? So that's where I just am so passionate about that part of it, that we have to be willing to give, whether it be the younger generation or just the generation that's looking to get a fresh start, we have to be willing to take that risk on giving them that opportunity so that they can develop some of this experience that they need. One of the things that I'll say, and I'm sure I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit, but especially in our industry, and I don't even know that it's just our industry, I believe it's every industry, it's saturated with the same people over and over again. I can tell you that at least in our industry that we work in, we see the same names, the same faces that just move from company to company to company because their skill set is needed, but they, for lack of better words, job hop because they get one company offering them a better opportunity than the next. But eventually those people are going to be gone. They're going to retire. And those skill sets need to be filled by some of the younger generation or the newer generation that is green and that we can help mold that skill set into what we want. So why not take advantage of that as an employer and help build that next generation of workers? Because it's very necessary because eventually the market's going to go dry.
Adrian, how are we through apprenticeship combining, you know, and offering students that opportunity that Brenda just talked about, right? That combined open door of work and education to really, you know, prepare a new wave of just professionals.
Right, absolutely. From what Brenda said, that this is a career, not a job. Apprenticeship is a career. It's an opportunity to be hired by an employer. The employer then has the ability to train the potential apprentice from ground zero. So here you can mold a person with your company culture, your company values, your company experience, while they're still attending school to get the coursework or the related instruction that will complement the on-the-job training. And that is truly what apprenticeship is about. It is very different than an internship because an internship is very short term, typically only lasting a semester, maybe a summer, maybe a 1 year type of opportunity. But at the end of that internship, they go back to school or they go back to their life and they continue on. They're not working for that company any longer. Where with the apprenticeship, they start with that company, they continue with that company, and at the end of the apprenticeship, they continue with the company also. So again, it is a true career, not just a job. And it's valuable on the job training that they're gathering that where else can you go at the end of a college degree with both the related instruction or the coursework and the on the job training experience.
Absolutely. That's, you know, I know that the IT apprenticeship is the one that we're focusing on today, and I want to talk about it and what makes it unique, right? The one that we offer at Howard Community College. But for those who are listening and watching this and are thinking, well, IT is really not where I want to fall, I encourage you to really contact Adrian because this is not the only apprenticeship. Isn't that right, Adrian?
That's correct. Howard Community College now has 10 occupations spanning from non-traditional, which is a construction management, software development, IT, and the biomedical engineer technology. We also have several occupations in the trades. We have an electrical and an HVAC, and we are still growing. We have a new one that we're working on with AT&T for another IT opportunity, as well as there's others that we're in discussions with that we hope to bring to HCC very soon.
So tell us a little more about the IT apprenticeship. Let's dive into it and what makes it unique.
What I love about ours is, yes, it may be serving as what you would think would be standard IT. You know, we have three tracks currently with our apprenticeship. We have basically a hardware technician, a network engineer, but like at a level zero. Obviously, these are all fairly entry level. And then we have an information system security, which are all, again, they can all be very broad, general IT type of skill sets. However, what really makes us unique is that because of the customer that we work with, when we have hired people in, we are actually sponsoring them for their security clearance so that they can work at the government customer. So that is really a huge thing for us. It's the first of its kind, I believe, in the state of Maryland. Am I right, Adrian? I don't want to overstep, but I'm pretty sure we're the first ones. And what makes it very cool is, so when we hire these people on as apprentices, they are initially just meet with our security advisors and they start the process to obtain their clearance. All the while they're working as an apprentice, getting paid, still going to school. As Adrian has mentioned, you know, it's kind of a twofold process. You're getting to work and get your education at the same time. They are going through the background investigation. They are going through the entire security screening process to obtain their high-level security clearance. Once they do obtain that, which we actually have been very fortunate in that with the customer that we're working with, they are really helping us to try and fast track. And that doesn't mean they're shortcutting anything. It just means they're spending the time to actually, you know, work with these kids or these students to try and get them done in a little bit quicker fashion than what would normally take for a clearance to take place. And once they get that clearance and they're fully indoctrinated, then they are actually moving to a full-time position on site with our customer and working full-time, all while still going and getting the rest of their courses or whatever that they need to satisfy the requirements of the apprenticeship. So just to give you an example, our first cohort started in January of 2020. So it's only been just a year. I now have 7 students who are fully indoctrinated and have transitioned to full-time out of 13 from that first cohort. That's insane. I mean, to me, that is just such an amazing thing. And if for anyone that's been around this industry, you realize just how much of a golden ticket that security clearance can mean for you. And I think a lot of these students recognize that. And of course, you know, there are certainly a lot of guidelines, a lot of rules that go into place. If at any given time during the process, you don't meet any of the requirements of obtaining the clearance, then unfortunately you're not allowed to stay in the apprenticeship because that is a requirement of the job. But, and we've had that with a couple situations, but most of the time it's just been seamless so far. And it is really shown that this process works. I think that's really what's shown us is that it's working. And the amount of talent that we've already obtained just by having these students start with us, I mean, I am super excited about some of these students that I have. I can tell you, I know they are going to be superstars, and they're ours. And I'm like, what employer would not want that? You know, I mean, why not take advantage of having this young talent be associated with your company? I mean, that's amazing. It's such a win-win for us, for them, for the customer. So it's really just been a really cool thing. So that's really our niche is the clearance portion of it right now. No one else does it in the industry. I don't know if it's maybe that they just didn't want to take the risk, or they may not have the ability to sponsor them. We are very fortunate, being a large company with AT&T being a prime contractor, that we do have that ability. So we're really making it worthwhile for them, for us, for the customer. It's like I said, it's just a win-win-win.
Adrian, from the school's perspective, from HCC's, right? When the students come and they're looking at an apprenticeship, at an IT apprenticeship specifically, tell us how that's working, right? For this first cohort that we're talking about, how has that worked from the HCC side? And then we'll jump with you, Brenda, and talk about how it's working with you guys.
So it has worked because, for one, all of this potential students do go through an interview screening with HCC. We do invite Brenda along with an HCC person in order to do the initial screening. Now, in addition to AT&T, we also work with another company, SCDIT, that is also partners with AT&T as part of the Catapult program. So again, the student is going through an initial interview. After the initial interview, there is a group that is pushed to the next interview, and the next interview is exclusively with the employer. That is typically done with the mentors that the students will have as part of the program. And again, there's a scoring mechanism, and they're bringing on and making offers to students that they feel is going to be the best fit for the organization and the job that is at hand that they'll be doing. So that's the very, I think that's one of the successes. In addition, the IT apprenticeship is a little unique. In most apprenticeships, you are working full-time and going to school part-time. Because of the security clearance, the student starts out working part-time, going to school part-time. Once the security clearance is obtained, then they transition over to the full-time employment. And again, they still stay working part-time. So we work with all of our apprenticeships in that nature, in the sense that there is an interview conducted with all of the students. We want to make sure that the student understands that this is truly a career, and what's expected of them, what the process is, what will happen regarding their schoolwork, regarding the job experience, and then what happens at the end of the apprenticeship. Just because they have finished the apprenticeship doesn't mean that, you know, we go away per se. We're here to assist, to facilitate. If they want to go on and attain additional coursework, the apprenticeship office is definitely available to help navigate the waters for them.
You know, you mentioned two words that I want to go back to, right? Interview. I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to college, and you're talking about interviews here, right? When we're talking about apprenticeships. So for somebody who's watching and listening, let's clarify that a little bit. If they're interested and they say, I want to do an apprenticeship, I'm sure that they were like, wait a minute, where did this interview come from, right? I don't just go and register. Tell us a little
Correct.
Bit about
that. No, that is part of an interview, and a resume is part of every apprentice that does apply for any of the occupations at HCC. We do, and again, that is scary for some people. We recognize that. So with the help and the collaboration of the Career Services, we can also recommend that a student visit the Career Services to get the Career Service help with their resume, as well as interview tips, because this is the real world. You know, as part of any job experience, you're going to go through some type of interview. So likewise, we start that process by doing the interview in order to apply for their program. We want to be able to find out that they are a good fit, that they have the knowledge that's necessary to be part of this program. And likewise, we want them to do well when they have that second interview with the employer.
The second one is mentorship. And I don't know if Brenda, you're the person to talk about the mentorship and how that works with the employer, because that's unique already.
Sure. Well, and I'm sure Adrian can talk about it as well, but at least for AT&T, yes, with every student that we bring on, they have a mentor assigned to them specifically. And these are all very high level, at least with AT&T managers that have been in the field for a long time, that we provide them pretty much one-on-one coverage with their mentor. So this mentor, now, even though I'm the project manager, so I really do take care of them on a more day-to-day basis. I worry about what they're going to be doing every day. I take care of their, helping them with their timesheets, any of their daily, day-to-day interaction. I pretty much help them with their assignments, but their mentor is really there to help navigate them through their career, through that more high level trajectory of where they're going to be long-term with AT&T. So once they get assigned a mentor, it's very important for me to have them develop that rapport early on. So I will literally create one-on-one meetings with their mentor and the students so that they can meet, get to know each other, get to see both personally and professionally where each other are. And then that mentor is really works very closely with me to help find assignments for them. I can't possibly come up with assignments for 40 students all the time, especially right now when we're, you know, the majority of our work is done in the classified area. So we have to find unclassified work for all of these students to do while they're waiting, while they're going through the whole process. And that's what I need their mentors help with. And they all know that. They're all very well aware that, and we do have plenty of stuff that we can find for them to do. So it really is just them working with them, also answering any questions, both from an industry standard to an AT&T standard to a technical, you know, if we have a lot of networking students, we take them through networking chats and like 101 type of things. We put them in labs. We kind of really show them the ropes from the full life cycle of a system so that they know how all the nuts and bolts work. And again, a lot of these students have had a lot of this experience based off of just some of the education that they've already had. So it may be redundant. And what I've told every one of these students that we've interviewed is it may seem redundant at first, but take advantage of any opportunity and education and training that you can get. Because for one, you're getting paid for it. The whole time that's kind of a no-brainer. Once you're in there, you're getting paid whether you've already been exposed to something or not. So why not enjoy the extra attention and the extra training, the extra skills that you may develop? There could be one thing that you don't know that you're going to learn. And that one thing could take you through to the next level. You just don't know. So really just, you have to treat every day as just, you know, being a sponge and just absorb whatever you can. So the mentor is there to help me with that. And they're all like fantastic with regards to being very responsive to me, being very responsive to the students, helping me find things for them to do. So it's been a great working relationship so far.
Adrian, is mentorship part of the apprenticeships and all of the ones that HEC offers?
Yes, mentorship is part of every single occupation that we have. AT&T utilizes managers, but again, we do not require a manager to be part of this as a mentor. It's normally a seasoned worker. So someone who's been with the company for a little while, and again, I don't have a set time, but somebody, if the apprentice has a question that someone may be able to answer or knows the person to be able to contact for additional information or an answer to that question. So, and that's really a key component of helping that student learn about the job, learn about the skills needed, and having that confidant mentor in place to be able to help mold them and train them for the opportunity.
Brenda, you talked about their daily activities, right? And the students having something to do on a daily basis and you coming up with it together with the mentor. What's the expectation here for somebody coming and joining an apprenticeship?
Sure. Well, of course, we all know with COVID, it's been a little bit more challenging in this last cohort, and we actually have a new one starting today as we speak. Actually, I have them in training at AT&T right now for their orientation. But it is interesting because our first cohort, it was great because they were able to physically be in the office every single day. They had so much more physical exposure to all of the people. So I really feel like they had a leg up because we were able to have them all sit in meetings at the same time. Again, be in the lab. We had this lab called an MTIC that we had them all downstairs and we're doing a lot of interaction with each other. And now, unfortunately, because everything is so virtual, that's shifted a little bit. However, I will let you know. So one of the projects that we currently have right now is we have a very huge laptop refresh project going on with our customer. This is huge. I'm talking like thousands of laptops that need to be imaged, commissioned, deployed to the customer. And this is not something a small feat by any means. So as at AT&T, we're responsible for this. I have our entire second cohort. So there are about 18 students right now that are working with the manager at AT&T that are primarily running this entire program. Because it's unclassified, we have a lab set up at AT&T where these students, and I'm handling their schedules on a daily basis, but they are rotating in and out all day from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. They are commissioning these laptops. They are taking care of the imaging. They are meeting the customer as they come to pick up the laptops. We give them what they need to do to survive in this field. Now, there may be some work that comes into play that seems like a little bit more, you know, not really utilizing their skill set, but I think it's all relative to what they're doing. We originally, we had some of them working in the warehouse, helping with supply chain, which seems like it's not very important, but it's huge. I mean, there's a full life cycle that goes into the entire IT process. So why not teach them all of that? But yeah, this laptop thing has been going on now for probably a month and a half. And I don't believe that there's any end in sight right now. I mean, we have that many laptops that we're trying to get out. So it's being primarily run by the IT apprentices right now, just with the help and supervision of one of our managers. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So Adrian, you know, we're hearing that they're doing all of this. What's happening in the classroom, right? What are they seeing in the classroom? How is that complementing and how do, you know, classroom and work come together?
Correct. So part of the classroom work, which in this case with AT&T, all of the classwork is credit courses. So they take between 18 and 24 credits throughout the year and a half to 2 years of the apprenticeship for IT. Again, it's reinforcing what they're learning. So obviously part of the hardware aspect with the laptops, they're going to need a knowledge of the A+, the Network Plus, and the Security Plus. So that is some of the things that they're learning in class, as well as there's an opportunity for other related courses that directly relate to the program. AT&T was able to go through and select the courses that would be most beneficial to the, based on the job descriptions of the three occupations or tracks, as we also refer to them as part of this program. There is an opportunity to have some in-person lab experience at HCC. But again, in this COVID world, that has been a little bit more of a challenge. But the credit folks have been terrific to work with. They understand that here's an employer that is doing the on-the-job training, and they are trying to provide as much true live lab experience as possible for these students. So each semester, there's typically at least one course that's going to have a lab component so they can truly have an in-person experience.
What's the main goal, Adrian? When somebody comes and, because usually when you're looking at school, you're like, "When will my two, my, you know, you make your plans. I want my 2-year degree, and then I'm going to move on to my 4-year degree, and then I'm going to look for a job." Right? When we're looking at an apprenticeship, it looks like things shift a little bit. So when we're thinking of the educational side, what is that goal?
So typically the educational side, which is also referred to as the related instruction, is directly related to the occupation. Now, we have some of our occupations that truly the student will end up with their AAS degree at the end. We have a program that will end up with an HCC certificate at the end. So all of them are a little different. AT&T chose more industry certifications because that was the real work experience for AT&T. Now, does that mean at the end of the apprenticeship, the students don't get any more schooling? That's not really the case. AT&T has a very good tuition reimbursement program. And that is one of the things that we're actually going to encourage the students to continue taking courses to go towards their AA degree, or some of them may be transferring and receiving their 4-year degree. We will assist with anything that the students need, you know, and again, primarily our apprenticeship students do take courses in the evenings. So if there's not a course offering in the evening and we know that there's a large number of students, you know, we have that collaboration with the credit to say, hey, we do have some students that want this course. Is it possible to offer an evening course of this particular course next semester or fall semester or whatever it may be the case? So that's the beauty of working with an employer to get the coursework and the objectives to line up with truly what they're doing on the job.
And if I could add on to that, I do want to kind of point more on what Adrian says with regards to continuing on their education. I'm a huge advocate for that. I really think that, yes, this may only eventually get you 18 to 24 credits by the time you finish. But yes, we're looking at, again, and we kind of go back to that whole making this a career. We're looking at you wanting to move up to the next level and to the next level and to the next level. Well, one of the ways that you can do that is by obtaining your degree, by getting that experience, by getting that education. So along with what Adrian mentioned with regards to us trying to get them the industry certifications that they need, and Security Plus is a huge one in our industry. So of course, we're going to work on that. You know, I would hope and encourage these students to continue on to go forth with getting that degree so that that just pushes them to the next level of experience when it comes to qualifying for a level 2 versus a level 1 or a level 3 versus a level 2 in the next, you know, in their next part of their career. So that's a big thing. And AT&T is a huge advocate for that. Like she said, we have a great tuition reimbursement program. Why would you not want to take advantage of having somebody, you know, help you pay for your education?
Absolutely. From an employer perspective, I know your passion is just, it just comes beautifully, you know, through the screen here. And I love that. But as an employer, when you were thinking about, you know, taking this opportunity and bringing this opportunity into AT&T, from that employee perspective, you know, from that employer perspective, what is it that you were thinking? What was the goal? What was the main goal? What were you thinking? This is really something we need to do because...
Yeah, well, you know, that's a really good question. I will say this, the leadership at AT&T is so on board and behind this whole idea, just the whole concept of it, that I think that really made it easy to just, I mean, not because they were pushing any of us to say, but they, you know, let's face it, lots of times you have employees that have great ideas about, oh, what would be a great thing for, but you have to get your leadership team to be behind you on it. This was just the opposite. Our leadership team was so already excited about the idea and the concept of it that it just made it easy to run with it. I mean, when I was brought on to AT&T to take this, the concept had already been agreed upon, and I was pretty much given carte blanche to just go for it. Like, work with Adrian, work with HCC and make this happen. And I'm like, how cool is this that you don't really even need to get, you know, buy-in from somebody? They're already so on board. I think the other thing with us is we're really big about community. AT&T is very, very big into community. And because The customer that we work with is also in Howard County. It just made sense to work with Howard Community College. You know, it just kind of all worked together. And it has just been a seamless relationship as far as I'm concerned. Adrian did mention SCDIT. I did want to at least point them out. So they are another company that's actually a subcontractor to us on the program that we support. They are a great smaller company that obviously doesn't have the means to be able to sponsor for a clearance themselves. So this was a great way for them to, we decided to partner with them. They, again, pretty much share a parking lot with us. So we decided to bring them on, and their whole part of this is that they actually get assigned an apprentice or two, however many they choose to take on. They pay for their salary, they pay for their education, the tuition part of it, and in return, we sponsor them under us for the clearance. And then once they actually obtain that, then they go full-time on our program under, still under SCDIT, but as a subcontractor to AT&T. So again, it's a seamless partnership. It has been working fantastically. They have been a great company to work for, extremely helpful. The program manager that they assigned to work with me could not be more helpful and innovative. And she's great at working with the whole WebEx stuff, which is fantastic for me because I can be technically challenged at times. So it really just has worked out. So I can't find any negatives or any cons to say about it. And having AT&T leadership behind us on this is huge. And it's really helped. And the customer is behind it, which is also another thing. I think because our leadership team has gone to the customer, explained to them what we're doing, they're very excited about this opportunity. And you're right, there's nothing really like it. So they've kind of gotten behind it as well. So it's just been very easy to run with.
Why should more employers or more industries start offering apprenticeships? What are you finding that are the strengths, you know, as an employer to have apprentice come in?
I think a lot of it is just the fear of the unknown. And that's why a lot of employers don't necessarily take this. And you also, you do have to be in the right position. You know, you have to be a person that can sponsor, at least with our industry, you have to be a prime contractor that can sponsor clearances, you know, so an average smaller company may not be able to offer the same things that we do. And that's unfortunate, but that doesn't mean you still shouldn't want to, like SCD got very creative in how they wanted to participate, even as a smaller subcontractor. It really is a win-win. And I think a lot of employers may just feel like it's more trouble than it's worth. And that's sad, because if you really look at the return on investment that your company will have by having these students come in. I mean, again, you are creating new talent for the workforce that could take you for years from now. And these students are now associated with your company. I find it very hard to believe that the students that we've had start since last January are gonna look to go anywhere else right now but AT&T. They're very pro AT&T, and that's fantastic. And that's not been because we've been drilling it into their heads. It's because we've provided them with an opportunity that they wouldn't have had elsewhere. So, you know, loyalty is a hard thing these days to see in this industry. And it really breaks my heart, because I've always been a very loyal person to a company. And you do see job hoppers. But I think that by us developing this talent early on, it's helping kind of reinforce that loyalty to a company. And I think that's very important. So it's just a win. I think all employers should really take consideration of what it could do for them as a company, for them as a workforce, what it will show as them giving back to the community. I mean, it's just all around, it's a very well-rounded thing to be a part of.
Right. And I want to add on to that, because there is such a huge hole in this industry that literally, as Brenda has mentioned, you see a lot of job hoppers. Yeah. But what are the companies doing to develop the talent pipeline that's going to need to replace these workers that are going to retire?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not enough people to fill the job openings in the IT cyber area. So here's a huge opportunity of an employer taking a chance, taking a risk, and developing this talent pipeline with the students. Again, these students develop the loyalty. You know, they, here's a company that's investing in them, providing them a progressive wage, paying for their schoolwork, providing the on-the-job training opportunity. Where else can you go with those opportunities as a college student? So it's the huge loyalty turnaround. Department of Labor statistic is apprenticeship is a 94% success rate, which is huge. So these are people who are going to complete the program, remain as an apprentice, and continue working for the employer. So 94% is the rate of completion, which is huge.
That's a big statistic. It really is.
Yeah,
absolutely. Adrian, is there an ideal candidate for an apprenticeship in general?
So I would say, because each one of our programs do have different requirements, different entry requirements, different requirements throughout the apprenticeship. Again, it's somebody who is looking for a career. They are very passionate of what they're doing for that particular opportunity. They want to be able to partner the college courses, the related instruction, and the on-the-job training experience. So certainly, because of the security clearance that does come with AT&T, one of the big criteria is that you must be a U.S. citizen. You know, and there's certainly some other requirements on some of our others based on industry needs, industry requirements, et cetera. You know, lifting 50 pounds sometimes is something that is a requirement across some several of our occupations. So, and again, we, traditional age college students, career changers, later in life, it's people who are looking for a career. We have a very diverse population across our apprentices with AT&T, anywhere from traditional high school graduate that started the program right out of high school, all the way through career changers, as well as we've even had a stay-at-home mom who had a master's degree and who came back to HCC to go through this program in order to secure her job and the on-the-job training experience.
Just time a week ago, by the way.
Yes. So we do not discriminate as far as, you know, if you have college, don't have college, this is a welcome opportunity for someone who does have a college degree and who is looking for that second career. You know, we do realize that that particular person would be taking a huge potentially cut in pay, but it's a new opportunity to have the retraining and to have that full-time job at the completion of this program.
So we only have about 5 more minutes and I had like 10 more questions for both of you guys. But I think where I would like to take this question is gonna be probably a little wide, is I want you to talk to, you know, both the students, employers, and the community in general, because like you said, this is new, this is different, this is like that unknown, right? Where it's a transition. And I think we all learned this year that transitions can be scary, right? And that we may think that we're prepared, but when we're actually in the thick of it, not so much, right? There's a lot to handle. So if you could talk to everyone, right? And just really help us feel a little more comfortable with apprenticeships. Let's start with you, Brenda. What would you say to, like I said, community? How is this making our community better? To students, why should they consider an apprenticeship? And to employers, why should they jump on board and start offering and maybe contacting HEC and seeing if this is the right thing for them to offer and start building that pipeline of trained employees?
Well, again, I guess I'll go back to the actual taking a risk. I think employers really need to take a risk on these new apprentices. I think as an apprentice, I will tell you this, go for it. What have you got to lose? As long as you've got the drive, the perseverance, and the passion to want to try something new, the skills will come. We're not looking for people that have 20 plus years of experience. So, you know, we've had a lot of people say, oh, I don't think I qualify based on the skills. Well, let us decide that, because if I see someone that is just got motivation and drive and is so excited about this opportunity, you bet I'm going to give that person a chance more than I am the person that may have 10 years of experience under their belt that's just looking for something to do. So don't feel like just because you may not have all the experience, again, this is entry level. We're looking for that person that wants to be doing this, that wants to have that you know, that drive and that motivation to do it. As an employer, take the chance on these students. How are we ever going to develop the next workforce if we don't take the risk now? You cannot always hire people with 10, 15, 20 years of experience. It's just not feasible. The market is saturated with those type of people who are eventually going to be going away. So we have to be willing to take the risk now on bringing in the new workforce, helping train them. Why not help train them in your environment where you have the ability to mold this person that might be green into, you know, where you think they should be. Watch them grow, help them grow, and you're going to, the benefits that you will reap out of it will far exceed anything you could ever imagine. I just think as an employer, I am thrilled by the amount of loyalty that I've already seen in the last year by these apprentices that have come in that are now just so pro AT&T, and they think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. So what's not to like about that? You know, I mean, it's just amazing to see the passion, the loyalty, the drive that these students have. So I just don't understand why anyone wouldn't want to be a part of that. Yes, there's a little bit of risk involved. Yes, you may have some that don't work out. It's business. It happens. But when you really think long-term, the return on investment that you as a company, you personally in here can feel, and then that student can get just from what they've achieved, it's worth it. It's worth it.
And for community partners, Adrian, if you could just expand on that.
Well, definitely. Look at some of these employers that are spending, you know, what is their budget that they're spending on trying to hire directly from their advertisement? Here's an opportunity to go through and partner with the community college where we're vetting them. We go through and have an interview with them. The employer then has the opportunity to interview them. And as I tell my employer partners, you can interview as many or as few, and you're not required to hire someone. If there's not a good fit, it's not a requirement to hire someone. But certainly look at HCC as an opportunity to partner and to develop that talent pipeline with the skills that we're already doing through the college. Not every single, now our IT apprenticeship, obviously with AT&T, does require the security clearance. We can do this same program without a security clearance. So I'm hoping that that's not a stumbling block for some of these IT companies that truly want to look at training and developing and molding a potential employee, apprentice, with HCC, because we've had some great talent. Brenda can speak for the talent that's come through the program. And we certainly do advertise throughout the community for partners. So other companies that are looking to potentially, look at this opportunity, the requirement is for an apprenticeship that you work full-time, 2,000 hours per year. Now, we do have the exception with this particular program because of the way that the security clearance works. They're transitioned over to full-time as soon as that security clearance comes. And the other part of the requirement is an apprentice must have a minimum of 144 hours of related instruction per year. HCC typically far exceeds that because it's based on the training that typically works for most of the occupations that we do serve. So that's an opportunity. And any company who's looking at doing some of this staffing, I'd love to have the opportunity to sit down and talk to you, whether it's an individual company or whether it's a group of companies that are looking to scale and to develop their talent pipeline.
I highly recommend HCC. They've made my life so much easier by doing so much of the background work on vetting these students before they even get to us. So that's, it's an amazing partnership, and you would not go wrong with just partnering with them and working with them. They've been fantastic.
Right, and we sit down and have information sessions. AT&T comes to our information sessions when we have open applications, which our next application for this particular program starts the middle of March, and the classwork will start the end of August. And we typically do 2 open entries per year, 1 in March and 1 in September. September then starts in January.
Where can people find more information? Where can they get in touch with you, Adrian, just to find out more?
So our best opportunity is through our apprenticeship page at the HCC website, which is howardcc.edu/apprenticeship. Or they may reach us at apprentice@howardcc.edu. That way myself or one of my team members can get back to anyone that does have a question or would like to sit down and talk to us about the possibility of apprenticeship in an IT field or any related field or another occupation that we may offer or may potentially offer at HCC.
I would love to see more and more careers offer apprenticeships. I mean, there's so many careers that I can think of how wonderful it would be to just have that hands-on experience combined with the education and training at school, you know, and when you graduate. That was one of the biggest things for me, right? And that's why I was so adamant and I made sure that I had internships along the way, because I knew that when I was looking for jobs, I needed to show experience. I needed to show more than just my homework that I did, right? And that I was very proud about that I was doing in class, but I needed to show more for that. And so here's an opportunity to really just from day one, start getting both that experience and that education and really become a well-rounded professional. Yeah. Is there anything else before we wrap our conversation up that either one of you guys would like to say to everybody watching and listening today?
Not for me. Thank you so much for having me. I will say it's been an amazing ride so far. I'm really, really enjoying the challenges that we faced. I think Adrian and I have worked through just about everything together. We've obviously, you know, you find little things along the way that you have to kind of tweak, but we have really just worked very well together in making those happen. And I really look forward to a much longer relationship just continuing.
Yes, and I appreciate Brenda and AT&T and working together, having this opportunity. It's been definitely a wonderful opportunity that we've been able to showcase not only in our community, but it has expanded beyond that with some of the conversations that we've had with other individuals that have taken notice of the program. But it's just a terrific opportunity. We've been able to pivot. That's probably the most overused word for 2020, but we did. And all of our apprentices have continued to work across all of our occupations. They haven't missed a beat. Ironically, they're all essential personnel. And that's been fabulous for the students to be able to have that opportunity to work in a different environment and an ever-changing environment. So we are very appreciative of the opportunities that we have. And hopefully we'll have other companies that we'd like to explore apprenticeship at HCC, and we'd love to sit down and talk to them.
I encourage everybody listening and watching. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. You've learned as much as I have. If you are deciding what you want to do, I know 2020 brought unexpected changes in many ways, right? Like people who had jobs and had been in careers for many years, suddenly they were striped, right? And maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you've always had a passion. You've always had a passion for IT, but you just didn't find the right fit, right? Or didn't think that you wanted to go back to school. Well, maybe this is the opportunity. Maybe an apprenticeship is exactly what you need and it's exactly the way. Maybe you just graduated from high school not that long ago and you're thinking, what am I going to do with my life right now? And what, you know, what is this career going to look like, especially after everything we've been through? Maybe an apprenticeship is the thing that you want to consider for your career. You know, wherever you are in your life today, wherever you are sitting and watching this interview today, I hope that you give apprenticeships a shot. You know, like Brenda said, if you're an employer, take that chance. If you're a student, what do you have to lose? And if you're a community partner, I think that this brings a lot of opportunity. And like Brenda said, at some point, she said, it really strengthens our community. It really allows us to even be creative on how we can support each other, you know, through those partnerships, like she talked about, with smaller companies, with the students, with the colleges. It just really brings our community together, and it creates a better workforce for everybody. So in my opinion, it's also a win-win. And I wish there had been an opportunity like this for me when I was a student. But you know, it's not too late for you. So it's not too late for anybody. So thank you both so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I hope everybody is enjoying this day. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Share this with everybody. Share this information. Contact Adrian, howardcc.edu, search Arch Apprenticeship or /apprenticeship, however you find it easier. We're here for you. And this sounds like a great opportunity you want to take advantage of.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.